20 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Locally grown radio, your home for news, talk, and sports from Rudolph to Nakusa. 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Tom Foti in Washington. CBS News learns that Republican congressional and White House negotiators are closing in on a deal that would prevent a crisis next week on the government's ability to pay its bills, putting the issue off for 2 years while putting limits on federal spending for about the same period. Correspondent Skylar Henry.
I don't think everybody's going to be happy at the end of the day.
House Speaker Kevin McCarthy acknowledged the compromises that both sides are making as they try to nail down a deal to increase the debt limit so the U.S. can pay its bills.
We do not have an agreement yet. We knew this would not be easy. It's hard, but we're working, and we're going to continue to work till we get this done.
President Biden says he's also optimistic.
They're making progress.
Going someplace this holiday weekend, you will not be alone, far from it.
I'm Jim Crisula, along Interstate 77 in Princeton, West Virginia. Beth Reynolds will be among the millions hitting the road this long holiday weekend, despite what she says are up and down gas prices.
They are low at one moment, and it seems like every Wednesday I've noticed they've jumped up.
Gas prices nationwide are down about a dollar a gallon from last Memorial Day.
There was a bit of a scare, but then there was a safe landing for an Asiana Airlines plane. One of its doors opened in flight. The plane did land okay in South Korea. In Los Angeles, Daniel Saldana now exonerated after spending 33 years in prison on an attempted murder charge, which prosecutors say he did not commit. He did miss a lot.
Birthdays, weddings, mom's birthdays, and weddings, my brother's weddings, and my nieces growing up, their birthdays, the food, homemade food, holidays. Gracias a todos.
In Marlin, Texas, near Waco, the high school's rescheduling the graduation ceremony because an audit shows 21 of 38 seniors are ineligible to receive a diploma. Brandolyn Jones is a parent. She attended the announcement meeting.
We don't have a whole bunch of lazy, bad kids. This is a catastrophic failure of leadership and accountability.
On the Weather Watch, we have the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration storm projection.
NOAA is predicting a near normal 2023 Atlantic hurricane season. Specifically, there is a 40% chance of a near normal season, a 30% chance of an above normal season, and a 30% chance of a below normal season.
That is Agency Chief Rick Spinrad. Want to buy a lighthouse? No joke. The feds are selling or giving away 10 of them. Because of advances like GPS, Washington no longer considers those lighthouses very necessary. This is CBS News.
Need to hire quality candidates fast? You need Indeed. Their powerful hiring platform helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all in one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
If you have unfiled taxes or are in debt to the IRS, this is important news. The IRS just rolled out a new program to help struggling taxpayers more easily resolve their tax problems. It's called the Taxpayer Relief Initiative, and it opens up powerful new options for people looking to get back on the right track with the IRS. And no one knows this program like the professionals at Optima Tax Relief, America's most trusted tax resolution company. They've resolved over $1 billion in tax debt for their clients and have the expertise and experience to help you. One easy call to Optima can start the process, helping to put an end to your worries of wage garnishment, asset seizure, and other aggressive IRS actions. Make today the beginning of your fresh start with the IRS. Call the experts at Optima Tax Relief now for your free confidential consultation.
Call 800-783-8055. That's 800-783-8055. 800-783-8055. Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
Did you know more than 26,000 men and women from Wisconsin have died while serving their country? This Memorial Day, take time to honor their legacies. Here's former President Barack Obama on Memorial Day 2009.
We waged war so that we might know peace. We braved hardship so that we might know opportunity. We pay the ultimate price so that we might know freedom.
Join all of us at Civic Media as we salute those who gave their lives for our freedom.
From the Civic Media News Desk, I'm Melissa Kay. Here's what you need to know. Wisconsin Rapids River Cities High School is holding their graduation ceremony tomorrow, May 26th. They'll begin in the morning with a senior picnic. After that, graduation practice starts at noon. The graduation ceremony begins at 6 at the Performing Arts Center. Lincoln High School will hold their graduation ceremony on Saturday, May 27th from 1 to 3 at the Wood Trust Bank Field at Southwood County Stadium. Practice will be on Friday at 10 a.m. Nakusa High School will have their graduation ceremony on Sunday, May 28th from 2 to 3 in the NHS Upper Gym. Stevens Point High School will hold their graduation ceremony on Sunday, May 28th from 1 to 3 at the Spash Fieldhouse. Congratulations to all the graduates at River City's Lincoln, Nakusa, and Stevens Point High Schools. Rafters baseball kicks off Monday, May 29th at 6:35 against the Lakeshore Chinooks. I'm Melissa Kay for Civic Media News.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Lows of aloft around 36 overnight under mainly clear skies, easterly winds around 5 miles per hour. Sunny skies tomorrow, high temperatures reach up to 74. Lows of aloft around 45 tomorrow night, mainly clear skies. Dry with temperatures a bit above average Saturday and Sunday and highs in the upper 70s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently it's 43.
Your hometown news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Ability and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Hump Day Edition. Dom, it's the happier happy hour, and I'm happy to announce we've been joined by a fine guest. He is pollster extraordinaire Charles Franklin, director of the Marquette University Law School poll. You know, Charles, we've been doing this so long, I've just got that memorized.
Hey, Charles.
We appreciate you joining us, Charles. It's become a bit of tradition. When you drop polling, we invite you on, and you've always been generous and shown up. So, Charles, I gotta mention before we get into the heart of the newest polling, there's more polling. You've already teased more polling to us. Charles, apparently presidential wannabe Ron DeSantis is over on the Twitter spaces somewhere. And if he makes a big announcement, we'll maybe break in briefly. But you got some presidential primary polling on the GOP side coming tomorrow, Charles? What? I want it now, Charles.
Well, I'll be happy to tell you. Let me break some news. No, we're not doing that.
Come on.
Really, for listeners, there have been at least two, if not three, national polls dropping in the last 48 hours. And so it's a good chance for people to see how much they agree with each other in terms of who's ahead and by how much, and where there are differences there. So while naturally I want you to tune in tomorrow for my results, it really is a good opportunity to look at several polls all done at the same time and to what extent we agree and don't agree.
Charles, before we turn to the new Supreme Court polling that we're going to talk about today, election cycle-wise, I mean, to our audience, even the diehard political junkies like us, I mean, it seems like these election campaigns run forever. But actually, in 2016, Charles, we remember a much more vibrant race going on in January. We were in Des Moines, Iowa, warm January day in Des Moines of 2015, and Donald Trump was flirting with the run, and Scott Walker was the belle of the ball, and everyone from Newt Gingrich to Calista Gingrich were there. I mean, there was all kinds of, you know, righty political luminaries. And of course, when Trump was the incumbent president, you didn't see that Republican field. But on the Democratic side, we had, Dom, something like 24 candidates in Cedar Rapids, Iowa in 2019 at an event. Charles, Why is it taking so long? Donald Trump apparently, and Nikki Haley, an early innovator, but why do you think it's taken these Republicans so long to flush out?
It's been backing up. Now, there are a lot of people that are flirting with it, but not quite getting in, right? Look at Mike Pence. He's been not running for months now, but he's been out there actively on the trail. I'm a little surprised that we haven't seen a few more announcements now. I do think the intimidation factor of Trump, the hold he still has within the party, is really formidable. And if you're a candidate, you have to ask yourself, what am I getting into and what's in it for me if there's this guy that seems to hold 40 to 55% of the party? You know, take him down and you'll be famous, but others have tried.
Yeah, if you shoot at the king, you better hit him on the first one. Or the queen. And the state of Wisconsin, where we reside, and I care a lot about the politics, Tammy Baldwin's going to defend her seat. She's announced the incumbent progressive Democratic senator from Wisconsin. And not a single Republican has jumped in the race. It's almost like they see her as the unbeatable Tammy Baldwin, like I do, Charles. I don't see anyone beating her this cycle, but no one's even going to try?
I'm sure somebody's going to try. The question is, are they an A-list or a C-list candidate on that? You know, Baldwin has really impressed with winning by 5.5 points in 2012 against, you know, the famous Tommy Thompson, three-time, four-time governor. And then an 11-point win in 2018, granted a not especially strong Republican candidate that year. But I really think that what's holding people back is, A, she really is formidable, and she's got a huge amount of money and ability to raise it. But I think the other is the fear about what the presidential environment, the national environment, looks like in 24. And is it a good year for Republicans, or is it a bad year for Republicans? So for some of them, the question is, if I'm going to run against a strong Democratic candidate, I really want to be confident that the top of the Republican ticket is helping me be successful. Mm. And there's enough reservations about Trump as a candidate and increasingly kind of the presumptive nominee, though I think that is a little premature, that I think you're seeing Republican candidates holding off. And Mike Gallagher, the congressman from the 8th District, is talked about. But if you're thinking about it from his point of view, is 24 a good year for me, or is 28 a better year? He's a young enough guy. He can wait till 28, when Johnson presumably will have decided to not run for a fourth term.
One more, then we're done. Our friend Russ Klisch at Lakefront Brewery wrote that on the table at our old studios, Charles. One more and then we're done. That's his famous last words, right? I'm not sure that Rojo's ever going to retire.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocate, Charles Franklin, pollster from the Marquette University Law School poll. Well, Charles, maybe we'll have to get you back here tomorrow. We'll see how the schedules look, because that's going to be some interesting polling. But you have some interesting polling out today, so let's get to it. The U.S. Supreme Court. Lots of news about the U.S. Supreme Court lately, so I think this is a very timely poll. Let's start with the approved, disapproved, Charles. How are we looking right now?
Well, the court is coming down again. Its approval this time is 41% approved, 59% disapproval. That's down 3 points from 2 months ago and down 6 points from 4 months ago. But what we've really seen since 2020 is a decline followed by a little bit of an upturn and another decline and another upturn. It's just been oscillating. But every peak is lower than the previous peak. So there are these periods between major decisions or when the court's in the news a lot where its approval starts to come back up. But then it hits a top, something happens, and it starts to come back down again. But overall, those peaks are getting lower and lower. The stunning version of this is in 2020, in September, 66% approved of the job the court was doing. And it was still at 60% in July of 2021. So it's come down over that period, by 19 percentage points from 60 to 41% in just the last 2 years.
Wow. The trend certainly seems to be continuing to go down at 41% approval in the Marquette University Law School most recent polling. You talked about the Supreme Court being in the news, of course. Clarence Thomas, Justice Thomas in the news, and his wife Ginny Benn in the news. Has that had an impact on people? Did you ask about it, and what did you find out?
We did ask about it, and it's interesting in a little geeky kind of way. First of all, of the whole public, a third have heard a lot about Thomas's disclosure, a third a little, and a third nothing at all. So it's not the blow away everybody's heard about this the way political geeks like us might naturally assume that it is. But what's really striking is that the people who pay attention to politics most of the time, 60% of them say they've heard a lot versus only a third of the public at large. And of the people that say they don't pay attention to politics most of the time, only 18% had heard about this. So this is not unique to the court, but it's a great example of how important news stories only reach a big share of the attentive public, the folks that watch, that listen to the show, the folks that are reading the news and are involved in that. And as a result of this, the overall impact of the news hasn't been much, but for those who are paying attention a little bit more.
Well, Charles Franklin, I got to ask you about those that deliver the news. Let's call them the cable TV host and the journalist, and the ethical and honesty as perceived by those polled by Marquette University. And they've cratered, have they not? I mean, from the Supreme Court, it's down a net 9%. But journalists are down 26% in cable TV news. And I assume that's got something to do with Foxy News and the defamation suit. Down 49, net negative 49?
Wow. Yeah, it's stunning. We finally found that the national news media and cable are less popular than the Congress, which, you know, is saying a lot, I'm afraid. I think one takeaway here is that the Supreme Court, despite its low approval rating, is the least net negative, though state court judges or state courts are a little higher on the net, but mostly because the folks that have no confidence in them is a little smaller. More people put them in the middle. But the point I want to make is that our institutions broadly are seen negatively across the board. That's true whether you have a lot of confidence in the institutions or whether you think they have high ethical standards. And, you know, if you were wanting to write an op-ed piece, you might write ones bemoaning the fact that whether it's government institutions or news institutions or the legal profession, people have this very negative view. We've heard a lot about thinking the country's headed off in the wrong track, but I think these results are just a good indication of kind of we're at a real low point in the way we think about all of these institutions.
Well, that's because cynics like Dom now run the world, Charles. Come on. But optimists like you and I, Charles, we're gonna change the world. Thank you so much for joining the Devils today.
Shortcomings, right? There are definite shortcomings for us to complain about. And trust in government has been plummeting for 60 years since the 1960s. So this is not really a shocking finding, but it is interesting that we asked about 8 or 9 institutions and all of them are underwater.
It mirrors Dominic's entire life.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news, talk, and sports is 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
A 3-hour block of Wisconsin-produced radio, Saturdays and Sundays from 11 a.m. till 2 p.m., featuring Raised in Wisco with Joe Clayfish and Danielle Fairman, The Cripes Cast with Charlie Behrens, and Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown. You can enjoy it by the slice or enjoy the whole darn thing. Sharp Cheddar Weekends is radio so fresh, it squeaks. Listen in on the Civic Media Station or on the app.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
The issue with Milwaukee schools, just not enough high-quality schools.
Weekdays 11 to 2.
You can talk about everything else. You can talk about the funding. You can talk about school choice and for it or against it. But there's not enough Hope Christian schools. There's not enough St. Marcus schools. There's not enough Kings. There's not enough Reagans.
And until we fix that,
Milwaukee Public Schools really isn't going to change.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Hey, Dan Kelly, you went around the state saying there had been fraud and the election should be overturned. You did that. You took $120,000 in pay from the Republican Party, not in a donation, pay. The most recent payment was in December, and we don't know if you're still being paid. And you've been endorsed by some of the biggest election deniers in the state. And you're shying to me with, I don't know how I'd rule. I know how you'd rule. I know how you'd rule.
Matt Flynn Direct, weekday afternoons from 3 until 4 on the Civic Media Network and on the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Clear skies overnight with lows around 38. Winds out of the northeast around 5 miles an hour. Sunny skies tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 69. Clear skies and quiet again tomorrow night. Lows level off around 44. Clear skies Saturday with daytime highs approaching 71. 75 Sunday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 41 degrees.
Whether you're heading down Les Paul Parkway
or fighting traffic on the interstates,
this is the Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
The big and tall of political talk. The Devil's Advocates.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Join us on the lines at 844-967-2789.
Dominic, want to clear my throat and thank our most recent guest, a fine one, Charles Franklin, pollster extraordinaire, executive director of the Marquette University Law School poll. Although I'm shaking a fist at him right now because he's got more polling dropping after midnight. Charles!
On the GOP presidential primary. So I'm just going to have to reach out to him tomorrow, see if we can squeeze him in for a little bit tomorrow.
Now, right now, there's supposed to be an important addition. The second viable Republican has entered the field, I think. But it's really hard to tell from the coverage over on the Twitter. The Twitter is crashing. The Twitter spaces where Ron DeSantis has gone to make his big announcement, and Elon Musk is supposed to be there, and it's a moderated audio conversation, but very early on they had over 400,000 people trying to stream this thing, and the event's being described as, let's just say, glitchy dumb. Ron DeSantis holds, I've got the Guardian's coverage, Ron DeSantis holds campaign launch event with Elon Musk on Twitter. Follow live, they claim. Well, you've got to follow the tweets because you can't follow the audio stream, apparently. It's glitching. After Elon Musk laid off scores of employees who kept the social media platform running, glitches and errors have become somewhat commonplace on Twitter. Ron DeSantis has yet to say a word. But amid all the feedback, Musk said, with more than 400,000 listeners on the stream, the servers are straining somewhat. It has become incomprehensible, if you call that straining somewhat. Joe Biden's social media team seems to be having a little bit of fun with it. They tweeted out a, you know, donate to reelect Joe Biden and Kamala Harris link. And their label says, this link works. And one more here, Dom, 10 minutes ago. The event is off to a glitchy start. The audio line has bad feedback. Here's a quote. This is a positive quote trying to, you know, find the silver lining, if you will. We got so many people here that we're kind of melting the servers, which is a good sign, said David Sachs, the Republican donor and friend of Elon Musk, who is moderating the audio event.
Yeah, because you know how you know server space and cloud space continues to increase in price? I mean, come on, man. Really? Twitter? $44 billion, 400,000 people you can't handle on a stream? I don't know, man. It seems pretty weak.
You know what my partner, Sage, you know what his expertise is? Cloud storage. I should have called Sage.
Right.
Call us, 844-967-2789. So is this shocking at all that Ron DeSantis would have a mock-worthy campaign launch?
Well,
I mean,
no,
you had to see some sort of trouble coming, and why wouldn't you go to a network television? Or why wouldn't you go somewhere where all the networks were, you know, covering this thing concurrently?
I'm sorry, are those networks owned by Musk? Right? That's why. This is the billionaire's deal.
Do you blame Musk? Do you criticize Musk then? You know, all this sucking up to the rich guy? And the app crashed, right? The platform crashed.
I mean, come on. Yes, the sucking up to the rich guy is very strange to me. As I said earlier, it does not
show any
semblance
of strength or independence. I think it's the only thing that qualifies him to be president.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, if you get, you know, shuffled out by your billionaire donor, say, hey, here's my guy, you know, dance on a string for me, marionette.
Dance monkey.
You know, I just don't know that is the image that I would want. If I was in that position, there's no way in hell I would be introduced on a billionaire's little platform. Not a little platform, of course, it's a huge platform, but he's wrecked it as part of a campaign launch. But, you know, he's also presumably maybe going to be a big donor. But that's the thing. You got to be careful about these billionaires, eccentric psychotypes, because they'll turn on you in an instant.
You know, everyone's claiming, if you watch here, you can see Ron DeSantis declare for presidency. He does have a video. Aaron, maybe go over to Foxy News or something and search the Ron DeSantis campaign launch video, because that's a little interesting. You know, this is how he would cast himself. Hero for the people, right, Dom?
Is that what he is?
Well, I would think he thinks he is. He does have a video, and he has signed off on the paperwork, Dom. He's got a launch video.
I don't know if the hero for the people would be, you know, joining the billionaire.
Well, that's
presidential campaign to what? Be the president of the people.
That's how I was characterizing him. Well, I'm not saying he would say that about himself. Of course, he's not for people, Dom. Not unless you're rich people,
like Elon Musk,
or white evangelical Christian people. He's done for you as well. The rest of us, though, not so much, right? Did you find that video? Aaron's giving me a nod. You know, I've only seen it briefly. I don't think I played it all the way through, but, you know, this is as close as we can get to bringing you the launch of the Ron DeSantis, because Ron DeSantis is blowing up Twitter, apparently, you know, his
he broke launch. The internet.
Yes, that's how they'll spin it over on Newsmax. Play it for the people. Ron DeSantis, hero for the people, question mark? Play it.
Our border is a disaster. Crime infests our cities. The federal government makes it harder for families to make ends meet. And the president flounders. But decline is a choice. Success is attainable. And freedom is worth fighting.
Freedom!
For. Righting the ship requires restoring sanity to our society, normalcy to our communities, and integrity to our institutions.
And loud music.
Truth must be our foundation. Yeah. And common sense can no longer be an uncommon virtue. In Florida, we proved that it can be done. We chose facts over fear, education over indoctrination, law and order over rioting and disorder. We held the line when freedom hung in the balance. We showed that we can and must revitalize America. We need the courage to lead.
But why are...
Seems like everyone...
From the hometown of NASCAR's Dick Trickle, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM, your news talk and sports station.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
No one ever made a highlight from the sidelines. Get in the game, join the conversation with WFHR's Playmakers. Call in Monday mornings from 10:06 to 11 with your sports thoughts. And Tuesday through Friday, listen in while we talk with some of the most insightful, intriguing people in Morning Magazine. Talk radio that speaks to you. Get in the game, join the conversation at 10:06 Mondays with Playmakers. And Tuesday through Friday, Morning Magazine on WFHR, locally grown radio.
Hi, it's Tori DeVito. In every family, small conversations can make a big impact. I grew up on tour with my parents. Kind of different, but we bonded over music just like other families do over sports, camping, or other interests. And we talked. Little everyday conversations from silly to serious that built a foundation over time. Honest conversations, like when my dad shared his experiences as an alcoholic.
Your honesty about that part of your life gave me a sense of integrity that I wanted to uphold in my own life. And I was so grateful that you and Mom had become these sober, stable people who were always there for me.
I wanted you to know from someone who's been in recovery more than 30 years now that hard work is what creates success, not alcohol or other drugs, whether it's music or anything else. I said it a lot, and I'm glad you took it to heart.
Talk, they hear you. For more information about talking with your kids about underage use of alcohol and other drugs, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
Having low income can mean making tough choices. Choosing between paying for food or medication or a place to live is a reality for many people. Do you know someone who could use some extra help? Find out about the Supplemental Security Income Program, SSI, administered by Social Security. You could receive monthly SSI payments if your income and financial resources are low and you are 65 or older, or an adult or child with a disability or who is blind. SSI is money you can use to help pay for basic needs, like putting food on the table, keeping the lights on, paying the rent. It can mean new shoes for growing feet or help with medical needs. Call 1-800-772-1213. Or visit ssa.gov/SSI to schedule an appointment or start to apply today. That's ssa.gov/SSI. This message produced by Social Security at U.S. taxpayer expense.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
From the Civic Media News Desk, I'm Melissa Kay. Here's what you need to know. Stevens Point will have extra yard waste drop-off site hours starting May 27th and running through June 2nd. They'll be open 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. on Saturday, then 1 to 7 until Friday, June 2nd, to help accommodate No-Mow-May cleanup efforts. They'll be open regular hours of 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. starting Saturday, May 3rd. The city's recycling and waste yard drop-off site is for residential, non-commercial use only, and you must have proof of city residency. Governor Tony Evers is traveling the state this week looking for potholes. He's highlighting the fact that they aren't hard to find in his pothole patrol tour. The governor increased investments in the state's roads and infrastructure during his first 4 years, improving over 5,800 miles of roads and nearly 1,600 bridges. His 2023-25 budget initiatives include more investments to help counties and local communities repair and maintain roads. I'm Melissa Kay for Civic Media News.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Lows of aloft around 36, overnight, under mainly clear skies, easterly winds around 5 miles per hour. Sunny skies, tomorrow, high temperatures reach up to 74. Lows of aloft around 45, tomorrow night, mainly clear skies. Dry with temperatures a bit above average, Saturday and Sunday, and highs in the upper 70s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 43.
8-9. Rob DeSanctimonious, as the former president is now calling his declared opponent, I guess now DeSantis is in it, Dom. Here's what Donald Trump is saying at this hour. Trump says he hopes DeSantis gets the full experience of being attacked by the radical left lunatics. Sarah Burris over at the Raw story, Dom. After several months of softly running for president, it was a soft launch. Governor Ron DeSantis finally announced he was officially running. Former President Donald Trump noted in a post on Truthy Social, Trump began by using his latest nickname. You see the latest one? Rob DeSanctimonious. Now he's changed his first name as well. Now he's Rob instead of Ron. I'm going to get your name wrong, Rob.
I mean, okay. You talk about the Republicans so very concerned about the mental acuity of the current president, Joe Biden, when, you know, guys like Trump can't even get the guy's name right.
Trump went on to say that he hopes DeSantis will get the full experience of being attacked by the Marxist, communist, and radical left lunatics of our country, without which he will never know the kind of job he is doing. According to Burris, the implication appears to be that unless people on the left are complaining, you're not winning, air quotes, winning. He went on to talk about the lowlifes and misfits that he claims are far worse than the leaders of the hostile foreign countries. Like Putin and Kim Jong-un, I forget he was big buddies with those.
Yes, he loves the autocratic sorts.
844-967-2789. We'll get to you, callers. Be patient. Twitter repeatedly crashes as DeSantis tries to make his presidential announcement.
However, at the moment, it is working. Oh. If you want me to bring it up.
Let's dip in for, let's hear this.
History.
Yes, history.
Freedom of speech and level playing field. And just a vigorous debate.
And this is David Sachs, the moderator.
This can be a platform that brings people of divergent political views to exchange those views, and perhaps some minds will be changed.
It could be a platform for that, and, or a bunch of white Christian nationalists.
It's just incredibly important, as you highlight, that the First Amendment is irrelevant if all the media and the government are operating in lockstep. It makes conspiracy theorists
excellent.
Most important amendment, the one that was most urgently added to the Constitution, moot if you cannot have free and open debate. So Twitter was indeed expensive.
He's the governor of the state of Florida. Who's
priceless?
Stopping his debate.
Awesome. Thank you. So, Governor, I'm going to ask some questions while we get some other kind of speakers in the queue to ask questions. I think maybe some people knew this announcement was coming because there's been no shortage of hit pieces on you in the press over the last week or two. I want to ask you about some of these accusations that are being leveled at you. Last week, the NAACP issued a travel advisory against your state, claiming that Florida is not a safe place for minorities to visit. What do you say to those who've been advised that somehow they aren't welcome in your state?
Claiming that Florida is unsafe is a total farce. I mean, are you kidding me? You look at cities around this country, they are awash in crime. In Florida, our crime rate is at a 50-year low. You look at the top 25 cities for crime in America, Florida does not have a single one amongst the top 25. And if you look at cities like Baltimore and Chicago, you got kids more likely to get shot than to receive a first-class education. Yet I don't see the NAACP batting an eye about all the outrage and the carnage that's happening in those areas. So this is a political stunt.
Carnage.
These left-wing
American
groups
have
been doing it for many, many years. And at the end of the day, what they're doing is colluding with legacy media to try to manufacture
collusion.
Legacy, now, legacy media, not like the Twitters,
fewer Americans.
They crashed during your presidential announcement. Terrible.
And platforms like Twitter are there where people can debunk lies in real time. And I would just say, as an American citizen, if you are uncritically accepting narratives spun by legacy media and left-wing groups, you're failing at your job of being a conscientious citizen. And I think people just see right through it. And oh, by the way, have any of these travel advisories, because they've been doing this for a while, all these left-wing groups, have any of them worked? Well, we're the number one state for net in-migration and have been every year since I've been governor. We just capped the highest quarter for tourism in the history of the state of Florida. And our view is
I think that's got more to do with the weather than the governor.
We don't divvy up people by race. At the same time, it is worth pointing out that we have in Florida more black-owned businesses than any state in the nation. And we've also had more African Americans lead state agencies under my administration than at any time in Florida history. But with us, you know they're there because of merit, not because we're trying to play identity politics.
And do you remember his Surgeon General?
The black students
was he there out of merit?
Perform much
during the COVID pandemic.
In most other states, we rank number three in fourth grade reading and number two in fourth grade math amongst our black student population.
I got a statistic for you. Let me throw it out.
The head of the NAACP lives in Florida, and a lot of their board members have put out on social media during my governorship Florida vacations where they seem to be having an awful good time.
If I may just say, though, the AP is reporting that Amanda Gorham, she gave the Biden's inauguration poem. Yeah, that particular poem banned by his Florida school.
Well, there was.
So tell me more about it.
A singular parent in Miami-Dade that objected, Dom, so it had to be banned.
Of course. It can't possibly offend some people. Is he still talking? Are we listening? What's happening?
Well, a little more. Let's bring him up a little more. De-sanctimonious. Meatball Rob.
David Duke wasn't available. Although I'm not totally sure who they were saying was David Duke. I don't know if it was you or Governor DeSantis. It's sort of a little bit unclear. But I
think this is a function of the legacy media, these corporate journals. They're in their little bubble.
Legacy media.
To draw allusions to
woke
stuff like that.
Legacy media.
How crazy do you have to be? But in their little bubble, it sounds like they're making some type of profound point. And so
you are literally in an insular bubble making a presidential announcement.
People should be exposed.
You're not standing before the free press.
And I think the elites in our society have tried to cluster themselves to where their assumptions are never challenged. And that's
just like you're doing now.
You're sitting next to Elon Musk, dude. What are you talking about? I'm for the people, Mr. Musk. Can I have some money, please?
Because everybody around you shares them.
Absolutely.
And I think they become totally hysterical because they don't like the idea that their control over the media is being, you know, disintermediated.
Yeah.
Because now, you know, candidates for president can speak directly to people through platforms like Twitter.
Yeah, I mean,
Twitter.
How many times are they going to say Twitter?
Oh, as many as they can. Is he going to have like a little Twitter, you know, logo on his suit? Maybe I'll be his lapel pin.
Well, we wouldn't see it because this is an audio only. I mean, that's why we have radio stations and streaming products and visual products. But you cannot see this star-studded event, the Ron DeSanctimonious campaign launch. And where are they at for this, Dom? The Twitter space? But where is the Twitter space? Is it in Florida?
Whether the media reports something, an article is true or not, even more powerful is deciding what the narrative is. And
like your battle with Disney Corporation,
newspaper or a magazine, and there's only one thing you'd really put on the cover of a magazine. So that whoever's deciding that is deciding to not talk about
who's reading magazines.
Whereas,
I mean, no offense to magazines,
digital
but
town square like we have here,
who's picking the cover art of the magazine these days successfully
instead of a very tiny elite cabal. Which I don't recognize the irony of using that phrase, but nonetheless, it's true, and you judge by the results that this is a means for the people to decide the narrative, and for the people to decide what you know. What
I got to tell you,
is that what it is? Is that what it is?
Is there any there to this?
I mean, who's running for president?
Wait, let's hear Ron one more time. Meatball Ron, Rob.
That social networks really started censoring.
Or currently, this is still David Sachs, the moderator.
Medical viewpoints that ended
how many moderators they got here?
In lockstep with
there's just the one name, but so there seems to be two different voices coming from that one.
Well, Musk must be piping up also.
Yeah, he's there too.
Which is giving people
you
a
know,
choice.
This guy's and running for president, but I'm the richest guy in the world, and I bought Twitter, and he's doing it here for me. So
let me tell you more about Twitter and legacy media. And go ahead and unmute yourself. Elite cabal of corporate
it'd be great to hear
journalism.
I know that during COVID, you worked with Governor DeSantis. It'd be great just to hear a little bit about your interactions.
Tell me from one of DeSantis' staffers.
Yeah, thank you, David. It was an absolute honor to work with Governor DeSantis. And I was really impressed by his decision-making in the face of an absolute firestorm of
everyone
criticism.
Says he makes bad decisions, but he's steadfast.
You did the right thing when you opened the schools, and my kids in during California COVID for a year and a half didn't see the inside of a classroom, whereas Florida kids were in school, and you can see it in the results, and the learning loss numbers are so much better in Florida. I'm really curious, Governor. You know, as you're running for president, what are your thoughts about reforming, the public health authority in the United States and the federal government?
Great question.
The
Let's
CDC,
hear it.
The CDC, the FDA, the NIH. How do you see reforms we need so that the mistakes of the lockdowns that happened during the pandemic don't happen again when there's another pandemic?
Well, first, we need an honest reckoning about what happened during COVID.
It's Fauci's
fault. The only honest reckoning is that all of those agencies, all of the elites, the public health establishment, they failed. They instituted bad policies. Obviously, it's a novel virus, but I think what happened was when the data was becoming more and more apparent that the path they were on was wrong, they doubled down and wanted to do it even more. And I really believe had Florida not just kind of stood in the way, I think this country would have had rolling lockdowns for probably a 2-year period. And so
thank God for Florida.
Their impulses were authoritarian. They were not following the data. And I think the U.S. government needs to acknowledge the failures. And I think all of those agencies need to be cleaned out. What I saw just dealing with them was I saw a interest in the narrative and in politics over evidence-based reasoning and evidence-based medicine. And so I don't have confidence.
We're going to take the bleach and put it on, put it inside. We would talk about that. Maybe the sun, get the sun.
Enchilada.
Try all the drugs.
With respect to public health in this country.
Let's be done with DeSantis.
Oh, thank God. Oh, thank God.
So Ron DeSantis, I guess that's how he announced he was running for president.
I got to tell you, Senator Scott, did a hell of a lot better.
844-967-2789. Mark from the SAC, very patient man. Welcome. What do you got for us?
Hey, Mark.
Well, thank God that's over with. I could have done without listening.
You're welcome.
DeSantis. It is just disgusting. Here's a man who actually, didn't he fire some health officials down there in Florida because they wanted to report the actual death numbers down in Florida? Because we don't know how many people actually died in Florida, of course.
That's under dispute. We don't talk about the deceased rate in Florida. Can't talk about fight.
Yeah, Florida. Well, I mean, and Ron DeSantis talking about, you know, here's a guy who wants to ban. He's nothing, no problem with banning books. That he's worried about talking about how dare they talk about the First Amendment? And for freedom of speech, freedom both of religion and from religion, which is implied in the. The no establishment clause. I mean, it is just disgusting that and Elon stench, because that's what Musk, the definition of Musk is stench. But I mean that they allow this guy, you know, that it stinks to high heaven.
Well, there's also something in there about what a free press, Dom. And all I heard about was damn legacy Twitter. Media.
Twitter. Let me talk about Twitter.
Stick around. We got another fine guest joining us here in the Solidarity Realty studio.
Stop surfing the dial. You've found the greatest station ever. Locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
For me, and what does it cost? At Country Financial, we can help you find the answers with insurance coverage to help protect what's most important to you, all at a price you can afford. So while you're juggling work and kids while trying to keep an eye on your future, we'll make sure we're one of the first ones there when you need us most. What should you do next? Call Matthew Holbrook, your Country Financial representative at 414-332-2137 and chat about your insurance needs today. 414-332-2137.
You know him as the nose tackle for the green and gold.
1993 to 1999, and again 2001 to 2003.
125 games, 292 tackles, 7 sacks, and
a Super Bowl ring. But there's more to life than stats, and there's more to life than football.
You're about to find out.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring Packers legend Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram.
Saturday and Sunday at 1 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Civic Media promised you something big to celebrate our new and still growing network of radio stations. When we announced the one-day million-dollar advertising giveaway for Wisconsin businesses, you responded.
Just wanted to echo your sentiments about the advertising. That's really a cool deal and really remarkable.
$1 million of free advertising. Now, if you missed this chance to work with our team, go to civicmedia.us and click on the sponsorship tab. One of our local sales pros will get right back to you. Civicmedia.us and sponsorship.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Lows level off around 38 overnight under clear skies, northeast winds around 5 miles an hour. Highs level off around 69. Tomorrow, ample sunshine expected. Lows dip down to about 44 tomorrow night, mainly clear skies. Bright sunshine expected Saturday with daytime highs approaching 71. 75 Sunday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 39 degrees.
Conversation that's not confined to the borders of the city of Waukesha.
We cover all of southeastern Wisconsin, baby.
The Shaw, W-A-U-K.
The Devil's Advocates. Never personal, only politics.
We're back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. If you missed any of this fine program, go to civicmedia.us, click on the programs tab, and look for the Devil's Advocates.
Dominic, I've been joined here in the Solidarity Realty Studios, WMDX, by Liza Hellenbrand. She is one of the hosts of the Empowered Caregiver Show. Liza, welcome back to the Devil's Advocates.
Hey, Liza.
Hello, Dominic, and Mike, and Crudy.
And Aaron.
Aaron's
filling in this week for us, but I understand you still get e-boned. But I had seen an article earlier this week, and I told a story of myself. Whenever we talk about the Empowered Caregiver Show, I occasionally discuss it as a niche product. And I call everything that's not political niche as far as a political radio station might be. And you've chastised me many times for this. The numerical number of people in this nation that are caregivers, I mean, it's a big number. It's approaching 20%. It's approaching 1 in 5. Mm-hmm. And we've got an aging population at this point. We're going to have a lot more caregivers. So how much of that inspires what you and Kristen do on the Empowered Caregiver Show and help us understand what it is that you guys do each week?
Well, that is exactly what it inspires us. It's a huge number of people, and it's a growing number of people, and it's unsustainable. The current system is unsustainable as far as having the caregiver. Most of these caregivers work in addition to have the responsibility of taking care of someone else. Like you said, there's an aging population, so many of them are caring for children as well as adults. So the purpose of our show, we like to say, is to support, educate, advocate, and celebrate family caregivers. And the biggest one is really just to raise the level of awareness that family caregivers are the backbone of America's nation. You know, they are providing billions of dollars of unpaid care each year, and it's not sustainable. Changes need to be put in place. More and more responsibilities are being put on the family caregivers that you didn't historically see back in the day, right? You know, once upon a time, it was helping mom with some yard work or this or that. And now we're talking about, you know, being part of medical teams and insurance processes, and the list goes on. And they're dumping it on the family caregivers with quite honestly, little education or support.
Liza Hellenbrand, our fine guest here in the Solidarity Realty Studios. She is the host of Empowered Caregivers, or one of the hosts, Kristen Voss, her co-host. Liza, I had seen an article earlier this week at the Washington Post, an opinion piece penned by Emily Kinway, Family caregiving should be seen as an expectation, not an exception. And I know here at Civic Media, we've polled just within our ranks the people we work with, and there are a number of them that are caregivers. It was surprising to me. I had no sense of what a large population this is, but I've heard you say it on the show, and I'm going to get this wrong, but something to the effect that you either know a caregiver, you are a caregiver, or you're going to need a caregiver, something of that nature.
Yeah, the Rosalind Carter quote that is famous. Either you are going to need a caregiver, you are a caregiver, you've been a caregiver, or what's the last one, Kristen?
You're going to be a caregiver.
You're going to be a caregiver. So it really impacts just about every person at some point in their life. Very few exceptions.
And it impacts employers. It impacts workplaces. It impacts people's ability to get into the workplace. If accommodations are not made in some way, shape, or form, a lot of good employees are lost to this caregiving role. I know I've heard that topic addressed. Kristen Foss, the other fine host of Empowered Caregivers, will be right here on the Civic Media Network at 7 Central Time. But Kristen, how important is this greater awareness for employers as well?
I think it's essential because we've got a labor shortage and a workforce crisis happening in our country. We have a lot of people that are out of work because of their caregiving responsibilities. So you've got two of these issues going on that are actually pretty interrelated, but most employers don't understand that.
And both state and federal levels, we're seeing propositions being made in part to try and address this caregiver crisis, as I've heard you describe it, as I've seen it reported. It seems to be a slow progress. It doesn't seem like it's gaining traction, at least not across the aisle.
So the crazy feminist in me is going to say it's because it's an issue that disproportionately affects women. And we still don't have enough representation for what are considered women's needs in our political entities.
Folks, you are listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. We got a fine show on this network. Empowered Caregivers plays out 7 o'clock on Wednesday nights and replays in many of our outposts across the network Saturday mornings at 8 a.m. So if you're busy Wednesday night, try them Saturday mornings. The hosts are Kristen Voss, you just heard her voice, and Liza Helen Brand. What's the show going to be about tonight? Liza, I know you often feature guests. Who's on the big show? Who should we tune in for?
Me and Kristen. No guest tonight, and that's rare. That's rare for us. We like to bring resources to the table, local resources to support family caregivers, organizations that are supporting family caregivers, legislators to educate them, to advocate. But tonight it is going to be Kristen and I, and we are going to kind of do a deep dive into the mental health aspect of caregiving, and it is frightening. Caregiving is an extraordinary role. I wouldn't change it for the world. It made me the person that I am. I love it, but it comes at a cost, right? And it impacts your health, it impacts your finances and all areas of your life. But tonight we are talking about the mental health, physical impacts of caregiving.
And specifically, Liza, when we say this, we're talking about elderly. I mean, how do you define caregiving? Because obviously, if you know a person with children, a family, they're giving care as well. So in this context, how do you define it for the show?
Great question. Well, we define caregiving as those that take care of either somebody that is elderly, disabled, has a chronic condition, or perhaps a veteran that needs support. Parenting is a form of caregiving. That's not our main focus.
The Empowered Caregivers, right here on the Civic Media Network. Two fine hosts, our fine guests. They are Kristen Voss and Liza Helen Brand. Thank you so much for joining us. Don't forget, stick around for them. Keep it locked right here to Civic Media. 6 o'clock is Native Roots Radio. 7 o'clock, the Empowered Caregivers. 8 o'clock, Rick Smith. And Dom, we'll do this again on the radio, on the airwaves tomorrow for everyone's listening pleasure. They've already exited.
Our guest, Charles Franklin, a pollster extraordinaire from Marquette University Law School polling. Curdy, get on the horn. We're going to have to get him back here tomorrow. He's got another...
The Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council present the story of Cynthia and Ed.
My mother was always very active and independent, and she was familiar with her neighborhood. But one day, out of the blue, she stopped at the stop sign for much longer than usual. And she didn't know whether she should go forward or turn or just stay at the stop sign. She wasn't even really sure where she was at. She was very concerned. It was very unsettling for her.
It's important for you to talk to someone about it, to bring the family in on it. I felt so much better after my son told me, Mom, I don't want you to worry or be afraid. I'll be there for you and we'll figure it out.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. Visit alz.org/ourstories to learn more. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248 DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
From the home of